Okay, today is Exodus 16 through 18. So this starts the beginning of the people Israel wandering in the desert, and you see right away they're grumbling again. They're grumbling about not having food right now, and the Lord says to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven, and you're going to get it, and I'm going to be testing you." So immediately he's testing them to see how much they trust him. They've already kind of showed they don't trust him by grumbling, but God is gracious and merciful, and he's bringing the food, which of course he was going to give them food. He didn't perform all these miracles to let them just go and die. But he's wanting to test their character and their heart. He wants to train up a people that represents him, and that takes a process. It doesn't just happen because people say, "I like God." He has to train us up in order to be like him. And so the training takes circumstances in life that change us. And so that's what we start to see here. So he begins to rain manna from heaven in the mornings. The people of Israel have no clue what it is, but Moses explains, "This is the bread from heaven that you asked for and God's providing. So go out and just gather a day's worth of bread, and don't gather any more. Just, get what you need, and God will provide you each day." And the people do it, but then they don't listen. They have an orphan spirit. So an orphan spirit tells you, "I'm not going to be taken care of by my father. I have to scrounge and provide for myself." And so even though they've been told by God that he'll provide the next day, and so don't worry about the next day, eat it all, they have people not listening and trying to kind of make their own way, provide for themselves. And so they have them saving it, and then the stuff turns to worms, or it melts, or it just doesn't work for them. So again, we see this training up process and trusting God. Then we see the concept of Sabbath reintroduced, which I think is the first time since the very beginning of Genesis, where he says, "On the sixth day, gather enough for 2 days." And now we see because he doesn't want them working on the Sabbath, and we see that the food doesn't spoil for that day. So the food they gathered on the Friday lasted until the Sabbath, which is Saturday, so that they had 2 days worth of food. And so he says, 6 days you'll gather, on the seventh you don't, which goes back to Genesis or the law. I don't know if Genesis says that, but in the law, which is going to be here established shortly, 6 days you'll work, and on the seventh you'll rest. And then we see that the people called it manna. We see it was sweet, so I mean it was a good food to eat. They're going to complain about it later, but it's a good food, and so it's a true blessing that they're receiving this every day. And then God tells Moses tells Aaron to save a jar of it to be kept. And once they've got the ark, the jar is going to be one of the three things that goes into the ark, so that the people can always remember that God provided for them in the desert. When they had nothing available to them, God provided. And so that's just a key understanding in life, that when we look to God and trust in God, he provides for us. And that's the end of 16. And then 17 starts with them complaining. They move and they camp somewhere where there's no water, and the people are just complaining. Is the Lord with us or not? I can relate. It's easy to read these passages and say, "Well, why are these people complaining all the time?" God has made it really clear that he is with them, and yet they're bickering and complaining. And I can relate. God, in our walk with him, he brings us through difficult seasons in order to test us, in order to grow us up and train us. And he's looking for us to get to a point where we have absolute faith and trust in him no matter what. And these people weren't there yet. And so they're grumbling and complaining. Moses is getting really frustrated. He's obviously got more faith than they do. And so he's getting frustrated, but God is gracious and gives them water out of the rock. You know, I'm wondering. I've read this many times, but you know, I haven't read this Exodus since about a year ago, this part. And I'm not remembering. It doesn't talk about the consequences of Moses striking this rock twice. So is this a different rock that he strikes, or is it just gonna give us more detail later? Because Moses has major consequences for striking a rock twice to bring water, but it doesn't mention it here. So that's just a question in my head where I'm sure we'll find out the answer here soon, but I thought I'd throw that out there. And then we move into Amalek. So they get in their first battle, and we're introduced to Joshua for the first time. So Joshua is going to be the one that takes over leadership of the people after Moses dies. So we're like close to 40 years from now, that's going to happen. But Joshua is a young, he's very devoted to the Lord, and he assists Moses and everything, and he ends up being the leader. So he's the one that is the leader of the battle. But what they find out is it's truly God who is deciding whether they win or lose the battle. And he's doing it through the hands of Moses and whether his hands are up or not. And so Moses actually gets the help of Aaron and Hur to help hold his hands up so that they win the battle, because when his hands go down, Amalek starts to win the battle. And then we know Amalek, they're going to be at war with Amalek forever. And so that's kind of established here in Exodus 17, and it's going to be, well, I say forever. I mean, you could say the Amalek spirit is at work in the world today, but there's certainly no people of Amalek anymore that call themselves that I'm aware of. There might be a tiny group somewhere. That's it for 17. Then we move to 18. Oh, one last thing. Son of Hur is Ben-Hur. I don't know why that cracks me up, but there was a famous movie called Ben-Hur years ago. I think I saw it as a kid, but I don't really remember the plot. But Ben means son in Hebrew, and Hur, so probably the only one that thinks that's funny, but there you go. In Exodus 18, we meet Jethro, Moses' father-in-law again. Remember, he was called Reuel at first. So my assumption is he's been given a Hebrew name in Jethro, so his identity is changing. He was a priest of Midian, so the Midianites. He was a priest of a foreign god before, and he seemed to be kind of a high priest if you remember in Genesis when we were introduced to him. Or would that be maybe the beginning of Exodus? And so he's coming along. He's bringing his daughter, which is Moses' wife, and their two sons to him. And so Moses is excited to meet up with them all. And we don't know too much about what Jethro believes. The fact that his name changes is a pretty strong evidence that there's a pretty massive change in identity for him. So I believe he comes to believe in the Lord. He certainly talks that way throughout all the times that we see him. He clearly has seen. I mean, he just saw the people walk through the Red Sea and the entire army of Pharaoh obliterated through his son-in-law. I mean, that's going to get your attention, right? So my opinion would be he's come to absolutely believe in the God. You know, he's been a priest of the Midianite God for a long time, but I'm sure, obviously, he's never seen anything like that. So I would assume he's come to believe in the real God, but he's still known. I mean, it's his position. He was probably born into being a priest of the Midianite God. I mean, that's kind of his position of who he's always been his whole life. So he's considered a priest, and that's, you know, that's kind of an honor in those days. So he still carries that honor around with him. I think that's what is being discussed here when he's called a priest. Okay, I hadn't gotten to 11 yet. So yeah, it actually says he now knows that the Lord is greater than other gods. He might still believe. Remember, they don't have a big drawn out. They don't have a Bible to read. They don't have this big theology established. He's believed in his little God, all his life. But now he's seen the God of Moses doing amazing things. And so he says, now I know the God of, Moses is greater than all other gods. So he might still believe in this idol that he's been worshiping his whole life, but he now knows that's a very secondary, whether he still believes in it or not, he knows it's nothing compared to the real God. So we start to see then Jethro gives counsel to Moses, and it's good counsel. And what it does is it establishes the need for a law, because everyone's coming to Moses to understand what is the law, what does God say about this? It's now been established that Jethro, knows the Lord, or walks with the Lord. And so if you want to know what does God say about this or that dispute, then they need to go to Moses, and they're lined up. He's doing this all day long, and Jethro sees this is a terrible situation. But what I see, it's not stated in the scripture, is they're establishing there's a need for an unestablished law here to know that the principles of the way the world works and the principles of how society should be governed. And so that's kind of being established here right before the law is actually given. So Jethro gives the counsel that this is too much. One man can't do all this. You got millions of people, and they do not know the Lord yet. They're still not a large people group in the world that knows the Lord, as an aside. But they at that time certainly did not, and so they're bickering about every little thing, and it's causing lots of problems. And every one of these problems is coming to Moses. So Jethro says, look, you need to establish a group of men you trust that are not gonna they're not gonna make wicked decisions, and you need to teach them the law, and then have them establish the law and set up higher courts and lower courts so that the lower courts can decide most issues, and if there's something a little hard, it can go up to a higher court and can be decided. And if there's something that's really too perplexing, those are the things that should come to you. And so if you look at our court system today in America, this is exactly the system that we use. So we got it straight from what Jethro was counseling Moses. And so that's what they establish. And then, we move on to Exodus 19. But that was it for today. So may God bless you. Thanks for listening.